We want to take just a few moments to look at one thought tonight from Ephesians chapter 4. We've been working our way through this passage of Scripture, and we've entitled it Prison Reflections. Prison Reflections. And I just want to say that, you know, when you're in prison and you have lots of time, you have lots of time to think. Some prisoners use that time to think about things they shouldn't be thinking about. Some of them are planning their next heist after they get out. Some of them are in cahoots with other prisoners whenever they get out to do different things. But there are some, and I was talking to Ray the other day, Ray Smith. He does prison ministry, and he goes every week. He's 77 years of age, goes every week. He has complete ability to go into just about any prison in Florida. He has all of the permissions and that have been granted to him. And he said, sometimes I know I've got a captive audience. And so he said, I can't go anywhere. But he said, I'm very respectful of them. But he said, I immediately, whenever they start this little chit chat back, you know, about how much they love God, and said, well, what are you doing here? He said, that usually changes the tone of the conversation. If you love Jesus, what are you doing here? Obviously, you have another agenda. And he began to say that they began to talk. And he said, I've had so many deep theological conversations with prisoners because they have nothing but time to think about things. They get their Bible, they start reading, they start studying, and they begin to realize how foolish they've been. Or they begin to realize how their life strayed from the true Word of God, not what they thought about the Bible, but what the actual Bible had to say. And so Paul here is thinking about the believers at Ephesus. Remember, that was the last group of elders that he met with before he went to Rome. He met them at the island of Miletus, and there they prayed together, and he warned them about false teachers, and he was concerned about them, so he writes them when he gets back. And that's the book of Ephesians that we have here. We have the letter that he wrote back to them after he arrived in Rome, as he has time to share. Remember, he was with them for almost 3 years. This was one church that he had poured himself into, and he wanted to see them come out right. And in chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. We looked at that last time. That's the first thing that he desired for them, that they walk worthy. But then the second thing that he says here, verse 2, and I want to read it according to the word order that's given to us in the original language. So just bear with me here. Kind of look at the very end of the verse 2. Forbearing one another in love, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That's the structure there. Forbearing one another in love, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. That's how we are to live as Christians. That was his desire for the church at Ephesus. You know, to be lowly is to consider the fact that God is much greater than you are. It's to realize your place. It's to realize your place. You know, we live in times, I was looking at, they were showing the meeting that was going on today at the Facebook conference. They brought in conservatives and they showed all the limousines driving in to the thing. They were bringing in all the big wigs and so forth like that, you know. And, you know, why couldn't they just drive regular cars? Well, these are people that are higher up than the average person. So they're bringing them in there, and they're treating them with courtesy. Facebook paid for all that stuff, got paid for their flights to come in and so forth like that. They treated them with distinction. And because Facebook wanted to make sure that they were communicating that they were not doing the things that everybody said they were doing. I have no idea what they're doing or not. I'm not a math person. I don't know the algorithms that they use when they're choosing stories for their trending news service. But I do know this, that Mark Zuckerberg, the president of Facebook, understands and knows that if he's going to make an impact and change hearts and minds, he has to understand his place and he has to understand their place. So he treated them with very deep respect and how he brought them in. Now, whether he is honest about it or whether he's being truthful or if he's just trying to pull the wool over their eyes, I don't know. Only God knows that. But at least in the way that he treated the individuals, he treated them with respect, and he treated them with, you know, bringing them in the very best vehicles and giving them a place to stay. and so forth like that. Now, you and I need to know our place. God in heaven is so far above us in His wisdom and in His knowledge and whatever. And we start looking at ourselves and we start getting this feeling of pride and arrogance that we actually think we know something. Listen, when you get that pride spirit in your heart and life, you need to go back and start reading your Bible. Evidently, you've taken a break. Because I want to tell you something. When you read books of the Bible like Exodus, and you read the book of Deuteronomy, I've been working my way slowly through the book of Deuteronomy. I want to tell you something. It's just like God taking a hammer and just pounding it right on top of us and showing us what we are. He says things like this. Don't add one thing to my word, but don't take anything away from it either. Now, why would he have to say that? Because he knows what we're like. He says things that just show us what we're really like. We don't like to do that. We don't like to consider ourselves at what we're really like. We want to come across with our Facebook profile, you know, that makes us look really good. And what makes us look a certain way or make people think a certain way about us, but it may not be true. It may all be false. Oh, how many times people have put up false fronts and so forth, and we found out there wasn't anything to it, that they were lying the whole time. You see that on these criminal programs all the time of these individuals that stalk others, and they pretend to be something that they're not. They pretend to be a teenager when they're really in their 50s or 60s or 70s, and they're preying on young people. You got to be careful. But God is so far above us, and He says to us that we have a responsibility for bearing one another in love with all lowliness and meekness. Oh, these are such important words to keep in mind. Meekness. It's that idea of making sure that we control ourselves. Self-control. Some persons have put it this way, it's strength under control. Basically, it's controlling your temper, controlling your attitude, controlling how you act here in this world. I witnessed a scene at the hospital. This was Friday night of last week. I heard a kind of noise going on in the hallway, so I kind of stepped out to see what it was. And there was a young man that was down the hall there, and he was putting on a show. He was chewing out an older person. Now, that just irked me right then and there. I'm going to get my dander up. So I just kind of walked down toward him, put my hands in my pocket, okay? And I just kind of walked down, and I just stood there for just a few moments, and I watched him. And so he started to quiet down a little bit. And I just stood there until finally he said, well, let's go. And I looked at him the whole time he was walking by. I didn't say a word, never said a word. But I just looked at him the whole time as he walked by, going on the way, because I wanted him to know I heard everything he had to say. Now, maybe for him, being a young guy, he thought he was on a little power trip, and he could act that way with somebody that was much older than he was. But it got me upset that he was doing that, so I wanted him to know I was standing there listening to everything he had to say, and he realized it and shut up and went on his way going down the hallway. Now, that's not meekness. That's not meekness at all. And we all have difficulties with this, and we all have to seek God's will in this matter. But He says, with all lowliness and meekness, and then a third thing here. What is that? Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Folks, long-suffering is a word that indicates that we have to go the extra mile. You know, the Lord said that in the Sermon on the Mount. If a man bid thee to go with him a mile, what's our responsibility? Well, the Bible says, go with him twain. In other words, go an extra mile with him. You know, that verse of Scripture is so, so neglected today. We don't even go the first mile with some people. We don't go the first mile. We don't talk with them. We don't get to know them. We're not concerned about their soul. We're not long-suffering as we ought to be. And God indicates to us that we are to forbear one another with those three things. Now, like next time, Lord willing, we're going to get into that expression, forbear one another in love. Because I want to tell you something. Paul here is unfolding his heart through the pen of inspiration with these people. What he desired from the people inside the church of Ephesus. He wanted them to love each other. And he wanted them to forbear. In other words, go the extra mile with them. Oh, how we just, you know, so many times we won't pray. We won't think about them. And that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong. Our church family should be a family that prays for everybody in the church every day. Or if you can't do it every day, every other day. We are entering into very troublesome times in this country. And we can't afford, as God's people, I'm not lecturing here. I'm just sharing you what Paul had to say. He met with these people. He spent 3 years with them. He loved these elders. He called for them and they came to him. And he shared with them his heart there. But he writes back because he knows the human heart and how the human heart can be deceptive. And we'll put on the Channel 15 smile, you know. And when the camera light goes to red, man, who? The air conditioner is too hot in here. Oh, we need to turn the air on. And then they start being their little self. And then when the camera light turns green, all teeth. There are a lot of people in churches all across America that are all teeth, and it's not real. It's not real. It's just pasted on, you know, pasted on. God doesn't want you to paste it on. It wants you to be real. And so we need to be real with God's power and God's strength. Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. Lord, we thank you for the Apostle Paul as he poured out his heart to the Ephesian believers that were there, so desirous of them to walk worthy of the calling, but also to love each other and to pray for each other and to go the extra mile with each other. Oh, how we need to be those kind of people. Not just with a little pasty smile and pretend like we do, but a reality. To take time. Maybe stay a few minutes extra after church just to find out how somebody's doing, rather than the foot race out to the cars to see how fast we can get home. Lord, help us in that regard. We know how our hearts are. The Bible says our heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Help us to have a love for each other that we ought to have. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.